Kids are already going. Good deal. Huh? You guys got them trained pretty well, don't you?
Yep.
Praise the Lord. Did you guys have a good week?
Yep.
Amen. Been an interesting week. Had a funeral there Thursday. It's interesting. Those are always not the funnest, you know what I mean? It's kind of neat to see how the Lord works in them. And it's going to be an interesting sermon today. We'll see where the Lord takes this. He's been working on this for about a month or so here. And I got some confirmation from some different people that I'd been talking to. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer. Before we do, I want to ask you a question. This question was posed to me this week. If you woke up this morning and the only thing you had was what you were thankful for yesterday, what would you have? If you woke up this morning and the only thing you had was what you were thankful for yesterday is all you had. Let's think about that. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we humbly come before your throne. Father, we don't realize how precious you are to us and what you do for us. Just the next breath, Father, is given by you. As simple as that is. We're not near thankful enough. We don't praise you near enough. We don't think near enough of you, Father. I just ask that you would be with me this morning. Father, I need you to apply your word to the hearts of those listeners. I need you to use me. Step out of your way, Father. Use me to speak your word. Praise and magnify you, and just let us learn a little bit more about you. Father, I do praise you, and I do love you. In your precious name I pray. Amen. So what do you think about that question? Yeah, think about that. Were you thankful for your job the day before yesterday? If you weren't thankful, you wouldn't have it. Were you thankful for your spouse? If you weren't thankful, you wouldn't have it. Be thankful for your health? If you weren't thankful, you wouldn't have it. It's an interesting question. I mean, it kind of poses a lot of things to think about, but it kind of ties in. You guys see what the sermon title today is? The Bible Mirror. We're going to look at some stuff. We've been talking in Sunday school about some things, and we're going to get to this mirror idea, but something I wanted to touch base on. Amos chapter 8, it's in the Old Testament. It's one of them little books that's kind of hard to find. Amos is an interesting book because Amos means burden or burden bearer. It's his name. He was called by God to deliver a message to the northern kingdom of Israel that he wasn't happy with them. He was not happy with how they were dealing with other people. He wasn't happy with the way they were neglecting him. He wasn't happy with the way they had unjust weights and measures. He wasn't happy with a lot of things. And you know, at this point in time in Israel's history, was the most prestige it had been since Solomon was king. They had money. There was no wars. I mean, this was a great time to live in Israel. And God's saying, I got a problem with you. Because you're neglecting me. You're neglecting the reason. You have everything you have. You're neglecting me. In Amos chapter 8, and I'm just going to read a couple verses here. I want you to see this. In verse 11 it says, Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord God, when I will send a famine in the land. Not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but a famine for hearing the words of the Lord. Whoa. That sounds kind of serious, doesn't it? And the people shall wander from sea to sea, from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, inquiring for and requiring it as one requires food, but shall not find it. Verse 13 says, In that day shall the fair virgins and the young men faint for thirst. God's saying, you know what? Because of this, I'm going to make my word very sparse. It's going to be like a famine. You're not going to hear from me. I'm not going to talk to you. You're not going to have anything like that. And he said, even in verse 13, he says, even the young men and women are going to faint from exhaustion. Those that got strength and stamina and power looking for the Word of God, they're going to be exhausted and not find it. Sounds kind of serious, doesn't it? You know, in households today in the United States, they did a survey, there are five Bibles in every household in the United States. Five. How many of those you think get read on a daily basis? That's God's Word. And we look at that, we think, wow. Do you spend time in the Word? I'm challenging the kids in Sunday school to read two chapters in the Bible a day. That may or may not be a prize, Brenna. Maybe, maybe not. We'll see. Just a little incentive there. But I want them to read. I said, can you guys read three chapters a day? They said, how about one? I said, why don't we do two? We compromise. See, we work the compromise. But I don't care which Bible book they read. Pick one. Choose. I mean, whatever you want to start reading. I want them to read two chapters a day. Just read it. Not study it. Just read it. See if you can get it in there. You know what I mean? It's the Word of God. Right here, I want you to see something. The reason I'm going here is because in Proverbs, I'll read you this. Proverbs chapter 1. And I was thinking about this week, and it kind of hit me. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7 says, the reverent and worshipful fear of the Lord is the beginning and the principle of choice part of knowledge. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fear of the Lord. It's starting point, its essence, but fools despise skillful and godly wisdom. Instruction and discipline. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Do you feel pretty smart? Nobody. Not one person. No. You know, sometimes we get to see how dumb we really are, right? Fear of the Lord. I had an analogy this week, and I was driving along. You ever been driving on 71? Everybody's doing 75, 85 mile an hour. I mean, really fast. And you see a state highway patrol pull on the on-ramp. What happens? Brake lights. Brake lights. Everybody's right foot goes on the brake. Because why? Because they see that state highway patrol coming up there. And they're, oh my gosh, I'm doing 75 miles. I'm doing 85. You know what I mean? We get a little, are they afraid of that state highway patrol? They don't want to spend any money for a ticket, right? They don't want to get pulled over, right? So we're kind of afraid of that state. Do you think of the Lord in the same way? Do you think about the Lord? We say, you know, I'm going to go do that, and then, oh, the Lord's right there. Maybe I better not. You think of that way? We don't, do we? Huh? We read God's Word. We put it down. We just go on, right? We go on about our life, right? The Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you. When you're not doing something you're supposed to be doing, or you're doing something you're not supposed to be doing, however you want to look at it, if you're in the Word, allowing the Holy Spirit to lead you, it's going to be like a little... It's not going to be a little... Hey, stop it! No. It's not like your parents, hey, get out of there! Huh? Grandkids were over last night. Down. Get out of the bottle! What are you doing now? Get out of that poison ivy! Huh? You holler at them? God doesn't talk to us like that. He's like, yoo-hoo. Yoo-hoo. And if you're not in God's Word... You're not fearing the Lord. I mean, it ain't like, oh, you're going to kill me. No. It's just a fear. It's a fear of the Lord. Knowing He is God. He knows your heart. That's kind of scary, isn't it? If I put up on the... If I had a video to put up everything I did last week that you guys could see, would I be happy with you seeing it? Ever think about that? Huh? Kind of makes you think, doesn't it? This is a heavy one. This is a heavy... So I was looking at this, and a couple weeks ago, someone showed me some pictures on their phone, and there was a picture on the phone of a hairdo. Woo! That's what it looked like when I get up in the morning. I'm like, whoa, yeah, looking good, right? That was the confirmation of the Lord. This is the sermon you need to do. Because I was looking at it, I'm like, really? Okay, that makes sense. Let's go to the book of James, all the way back to the New Testament. Book of James, chapter 1. We'll look at some things. Well, James, the half-brother of Jesus, I mean, just there's a lot of things going on here. He's just writing a letter to the 12 tribes scattered abroad. And you see that in verse 1. But in verse 19 it says, understand this, my beloved brethren. Let every man be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to take offense, and to get angry. For man's anger does not promote the righteousness of God. It's interesting to me, verse 19 there, when you're in a trial, and you're going through something, what's the first thing you want to do? Want to complain about it? Want to talk to somebody else about it? I seen a sign this week driving that said, I know I can keep secrets, but obviously the people I tell can't. Okay. So, if you're in the middle of a trial, who do you want to tell? You want to tell everybody? People are going, or you want to tell someone? The bulletin this morning, you guys see the little thing in the bulletin about prayer? You see that? Isn't that cool? We don't go through this life alone. We walk with others. We ask for prayer for things in our life. That's what we do, right? So in James here it says, understanding this, my beloved brethren. I think what he's trying to say here is when you're in a trial, we need to prepare our hearts to receive the Word of God. How do you do that on Sunday morning? Do you fight with the kids and have trouble with them, getting them here, getting them dressed, getting them ready to go, getting them on, coming, and you get in like, you think you're ready to receive the Word of God? I mean, do you have any troubles in the morning on Sunday morning? Sunday morning is just smooth, right? No problems, right? No, you've got trouble. So we have to kind of prepare ourselves to receive the Word of God, right? That's what we have to do. So he says, be quick to hear. I think when we're trying to prepare ourselves in a trial, we have to be quick to hear. I mean, that may be listen to somebody's problem. It could be. It could very well be. It could be that you're thinking, you know, instead of me running my mouth, maybe I better shut up and let the Lord try to talk to me. You ever have that? Maybe he'll have somebody show me a picture of their hair and it's like, that's a confirmation to preach. Right? Isn't that cool? Huh? Isn't it great? It's simple things like that. It's great. Now what's he say? Oh gosh, be slow to speak. How many of us want to talk? I got a granddaughter. And I just sit and listen to her. And her mom goes, will you just shut up? No, I just let her talk. She just... Really? Oh, that's a... I don't have a word to say in the middle. She just talks. And it's like, that is cool. She's telling me all about her life and stuff. And it's just, well, I'll talk to you later. Bye. And go on. It's like, cool. And that's okay. You know what I mean? I enjoy that. I really do. I really enjoy it. I can just sit there and listen to her talk. And she just talks. Because, you know, she's got two siblings and nobody ever listens to her talk. And that's okay. That's a good time. Talk. So, be slow to speak. Wow. And, quick to hear, slow to speak. What's this thing about anger here? Gosh. You ever get mad? Yep. You guys never get mad. That is impressive. I very seldom ever do, but I do get mad occasionally. Well, okay, every day, maybe something. Okay, so what does anger do for you? It gets your blood pressure way up high. Yay! If you got a low blood pressure problem, it's probably good to get angry every day, right? Most of us don't have that problem. So anger is something, and can you control what you're going to say when you're angry most of the time? Boy, isn't that terrible? It's out there, and you can't take it back. Isn't that terrible? Anger does not, what's he say? Anger does not promote the righteousness of God. What is the righteousness of God? The righteousness of God is all that God demands and approves, and it's ultimately found in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The only reason you and I are righteous is because of what he did on that cross. The only reason we are. So, it's okay to get angry. You know, there's a scientific study that says when you get angry, your immune system is shut down for 6 hours. Do you know that? So when you get mad, all these germs are... And your immune system is like, isn't that crazy? It's a proven scientific fact. Isn't that something? So when you get mad, when you get angry, your immune system doesn't work. Wow. That's kind of amazing, isn't it? Anger, it's a bad thing. It's a necessary thing. It's a necessary emotion. Because we're told in the Bible, when you're angry, sin not. So you can get angry. Christ got angry. Remember when he turned over them tables in the temple and threw out the money changers? He got angry because he had a jealous zeal for his father's house. It was a righteous anger. Most of the anger I have driving down the highway, not much righteous. You idiot! Huh? Wow. Like I said, if there was a screen up here that showed you all I did last week, you guys would be like, oh, he did that? Yeah, probably. We better keep moving on. Verse 21. So get rid of all uncleanness and rampant outgrowth of wickedness, and a humble spirit receive and welcome the word which is implanted and rooted in your hearts, contains the power to save your souls. The King James uses a word here. It says, was it superfluity of naughtiness? That's kind of a neat word, isn't it? That's kind of a fancy word. We'll look at this verse just a minute here, because the Greek word here for filthiness has moral connotations, but it also is used to describe earwax. You ever have earwax in your ear? Huh? What's that? You say something? You ever have earwax in your ear? About every 5 or 6, I work in a really dirty environment, dust and grime and stuff, you know what I mean? So, about every 4 or 5 years, I have to have them do a Roto-Rooter on my ear. They get what they call impacted. It has a chunk of wax in it, about 1/4 inch long. It's just crazy looking. How do you get that out? I've tried doing stuff. It's ugly, it's nasty, but you know what? I go to the doctor, he just, and I'm like, huh, I can hear you now. Isn't that great? Huh? You know, it doesn't really affect my hearing. It doesn't seem to. It doesn't seem to, but the word for filthiness is like earwax. So sin, we have sin in our life, it's like earwax in our ear. We can't really hear that well. You can hear, you think you can, but you can't hear that well. So he says, get rid of all this filthiness, all this superfluity and naughtiness, all this junk. Receive the word. Receive it. The word for receive here is translated several times welcome. God's word should be welcomed into our hearts. Do you ever get a letter from somebody you love? You ever get a letter? We don't write letters anymore, do we? No. We send texts. Most of the texts I see are nasty, though, huh? They're not like, I love you, or, you know, it's like, what do you do that for? I can't understand what you're... It's like, really? That's how we talk to one another? Really? You know what I mean? So, you ever have a love letter? Anybody ever write you a letter? Norm, I know Dora wrote you a love letter. I know just by looking at her. She's a letter-writing type. I can tell. Huh? When you got that letter, what did you do? I'll lay it there for a bit. I'll look at it later. Is that what you did? Is that what you did? No, you were like, you want to see what it said, right? You want to see what you had to say, right? That's how we should be receiving God's word. We should be listening to God's word. We should be looking. It's like a love letter. It is a love letter. It's the greatest love letter ever written. And it's probably one of the biggest. It's got 66 books full of just love letters for you and me to read. And God says, I just give it to you so you can just learn about me, learn a little bit more about me. Isn't that cool? Huh? All right, we'll keep going. What's this word rooted? Planted, worded. We're in the planting season, right, Dwayne? We're in the planting season, right? We're putting in beans and corn. A lot of guys got stuff. See the corn sprout out of the ground. You ever look at a kernel of corn? Pretty unassuming, right? Looks like it. What is it? It's just a seed, right? It's a kernel of corn, right? Who knew that if you put that in the ground and it had nutrients and water, it would turn into a thing that tall and have ears on it with more pieces of corn? Isn't that great? Everything for that piece of corn to become what it is in that little seed. You know, when you accept the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart, when you accept Him as your personal Savior, that seed of the Holy Spirit is planted in you. Everything for you to be mighty in God is in that seed. It's got to be nourished. It's got to be watered. It's got to be taken care of. You don't just plant the corn out there and good luck. Hope you do all right. I'll see you in about 6 or 8 months. I'm ready to pick you, all right? You're good to go. No, them farmers, they're putting fertilizer on. Then they got to spray the weeds down. Then they do some stuff. Old time, remember we used to cultivate? Remember that, Dwayne? Isn't that great? That was great, wasn't it? Cultivating corn. It was great, huh? So we did all this stuff to help that corn grow. So more corn, right? That's what we're trying to do. Because we want to make money off of that, right? That's kind of feed our cows with it, something, right? We want a crop from that. God's word is no different. If you don't nurture it, if you don't water it, if you don't take it in, if it lands on an old piece of rock, corn's not going to grow on a piece of rock, is it? No. It's the same with God's word. We have to open our hearts to it. We have to receive it. We have to look at it like it's a A love letter. And it is. All right, keep going here. Verse 22 says, be doers of the word, obey the message, not merely listeners to it, betraying yourselves into deception by by reasoning contrary to the truth. Verse 23, for if anyone only listens to the word without obeying it and being a doer of it, he is like a man who looks carefully at his own natural face in a mirror. You know, I've looked at that and I've thought about that and I've studied on that, and that's this mirror thing. I got a question. How many of you ladies out there have a mirror in your purse? Do they do an app for a mirror on your phone? I'm curious. Do they? I'm just asking. I mean, Lexi would know, right? You would know, right? I mean, I'm just thinking, you know, so you could look at yourself in the mirror, right? You know what I'm saying? I bet, well, you turn the phone around backwards like you're going to take a picture or something. I was just curious because I was thinking, well, okay. You know what I mean? Huh? You know what I'm saying? The reason I bring this up is this. If you're going to go, when you get out of bed in the morning and you go to the mirror, I mean, what are you looking in that mirror for? I mean, are you looking to scare yourself? I mean, what are you looking at? You're looking to see what kind of terrible things happened overnight. Bedhead, you know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? You're looking in the mirror, see what kind of a mess you got to clean up, right? Do we get up in the morning and look in that mirror and then go, good enough, go to work? Is that what we do? Is that what we do? You see people with a hat clamped on their head, right? You know what I'm saying? You know what? You go to the grocery store, you got this hat clamped on their head and their hair. You know what happened? They just, you know what I mean? They don't want to mess with it today, right? And I can't blame you. That's why I keep my hair short. So I get up in the morning, looks pretty much the same as it always does. I wear a hat all day, you know what I'm saying? So think about this. You get up in the morning, you look in that mirror. Why do we look in the mirror? We want to do something about what we see, right? We want to fix the hair. We want to do something, right? Something with what we're looking at, right? The Word of God's the same way. When you look in the Word, and you're looking at it, it's going to work on stuff in here. Not necessarily external. Maybe the way you act. Maybe the way you talk. Maybe the way you deal with other people. Yeah. It's starting to work on us. You start reading this word, it starts giving you a mirror picture of what you look like. Like that mirror in the morning. You may not like what you see in there. And that's okay. We can fix it, right? We can do stuff. And I was bringing this up, okay, I asked about the mirror in the purse. You got a mirror in the bathroom probably, right? Do you guys have a mirror, like a full-length mirror, you can see yourself, what you look like, you know, make sure you look, yeah, everything's good, okay, good. Got one of those? Yeah, okay, you know, I'm just asking here. So, do you have a mirror in your car? Flip that visor down. Look good. That's what we do, right? That's what we do, right? You ever walk by a mirror and go, is that what you do? You know what I'm saying? Huh? I go, that's how I go by a mirror. The point I'm trying to make here is, how much time do you spend looking in that mirror every day? Quite a bit, don't you? Do we? Because we want to keep looking and making sure that everything looks okay, right? Huh? Buttons are all zipped, everything looks good. You know, that's what we're doing, right? The hair's laying right, wind blows sticking out like that. You know what I'm saying? We got to fix it, right? God's Word is the same way. If we're going to spend time looking at God's Word every day, all day long, it's the same as you looking in that mirror. Maybe it's just to take a glance. Maybe it's to look in the rearview mirror. Yeah, that looks good. Maybe that's what we're looking at, right? Just that split second to look. We'll make sure everything's all right. God's Word is the same. We don't look at God's Word. If we look at God's Word and read it and close the book and walk away, and it doesn't change us, is your Bible study really doing you any good? Is your Bible reading doing you any good? Is knowing the Lord helping your life? It's about the mirror. The Bible is a mirror. When you look in that mirror and you're going to look at that and you want to change something because it looks really bad, that's what this word does. It's a mirror. But if you're not reading it, if you're not looking at it, if you're not, first thing you know, Do you get up in the morning and say, "Good Lord, it's morning"? Is that how you get out of bed in the morning? Or do you say, "Good morning, Lord"? Wow. When that alarm goes off and turn that thing off and it says 3:30. 3:30. Huh? Is that what you want to do with it? You know what I'm saying? It says 3:30. What normal person gets up at 3:30 in the morning? Nobody. Some people do. Right there with you, brother. But when that alarm goes off, you've got a few seconds there to think about, okay. Father, this is going to be a great day in you. I'm asking you for the power to get through it. Give me the strength. And I want to look at your word today. I want to know more about you. I want to learn a little bit more about you. Is that what we do? Or do we go, ooh, ah, you. Huh? Make a lot of noises? You notice how older we get, we make a lot of noises? You ever notice that? Might just be me. I don't know. So when you get out of bed in the morning, thinking about what you're going to do today. The day's already started in here. You know it is. When you get out of bed in the morning, you've already started what you got to do, things you got to do, this. It's already started. Do you take just a few minutes and check that mirror? Make sure the hair is looking just right. And we take the word and say, I better check the mirror of the word today, see what I'm doing today. See what my mind's like. And God's like, you need to spend a little time with me. You're kind of messed up. And I go, yep, I surely am. Huh? So as a mirror, we look at the mirror all day long. We look in the mirror all day long. The Word of God should be the same. Verse 24 says, "For he thoughtfully observes himself and then goes off and promptly forgets what he was like." If you're not continually in the Word of God, if you never look at a mirror all day long, what are you going to look like at the end of the day? What are you going to look like? If you don't touch up once in a while, I don't look in the mirror very often, but sometimes I get dirt and greasy smear on my face and stuff, and I don't even know it's there. And people look at you like, you ever go to the grocery store looking like that? Whoa. Yeah. People are like, this is real. This guy's a homeless guy. You know what I mean? Huh? So you look in the mirror, right? You want to get that stuff off where people look at you kind of funny. God's word is the same. You need to look at it every day. All day long. See what he's got to say to you. It is a mirror. Verse 25 says, "But he who looks carefully into the faultless law, the law of liberty, and is faithful to it, and perseveres in looking into it, being not a heedless listener, but forgets not, who forgets not, but an active doer, he should be blessed in his doing." You know, we talked a little about in Sunday school, we have a message, we have a job. Each one of us has a job. It has to do with your salvation, your walk, the things that God has brought you through, your life. You are the sum total of all the problems you've ever had in your life. Do you know that? You're that sum total. You all the stuff that you have been through in your life. Is what made you who you are today. That's pretty cool, isn't it? And if without them troubles, if you wouldn't have had all them trials, you would have had all that tribulation in your life, you wouldn't be the person you are today. So, the question I have is, if you woke up tomorrow morning and the only thing you had was what you were thankful for today. If you woke up tomorrow morning and the only thing you had was what you were thankful for today, how much would you have? Would you have your family? Would you have your house? Would you have your car? Would you have your job? What are you thankful to God for that He has given you? He's taken a lot of stuff away in our lives. A lot. But He's given us so many things to be thankful for. I want to look at one more thing. We got a few minutes here. James chapter 4. I'm going to read you something here. And it's not on your thing, but James 4, I'm just going to read a little bit quick here. Verse 8 says, come close to God, and He will come close to you. Recognize that you are sinners. Get your soiled hands clean. Realize that you've been disloyal, wavering individuals with divided interests, and purify your hearts of your spiritual problems. As you draw near to God, be deeply penitent and grieve. Even weep over your disloyalty. Let your laughter be turned to grief, and your mirth to dejection, and your heartfelt shame for your sins. Humble yourself, feeling very insignificant in the presence of the Lord, and He will exalt you. He will lift you up and make your life significant. You know, when you start getting in the Word, it's maybe hard. Some days are drier than others. Maybe you're reading a verse of a chapter of that's got all those names of all those people, that all those ancestries, blah, 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 huh? You ever been there? You're like, blah, 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 huh? You know what I'm saying? And then you come to a verse that says, ooh, come close to God. He's going to come close to you. It's like, that's cool. I can apply that to my life. Isn't that cool? All that stuff is in there so the ancestry of our Lord Jesus Christ could be proven without a doubt. The Bible sets us up to be tested all the time. And the more people test it, the more true it becomes. You can trust this Word. Get in this Word. Read it like it's a love letter, like God is trying to show you something. Take it into your heart. Apply it to your life. Look at it as a mirror. When you draw close to God, He'll draw close to you. If it feels like He's really far away, I have to think I moved. He didn't. If God feels far away from me, I have to think I moved. Because He said He'd stick closer than a brother. You know what? When He died on that cross, He knew He was going to send His Holy Spirit to come and indwell you and I. Isn't that cool? You actually have the power of God living inside you. So when you look at this Word, you're not only reading a book, you're actually reading a book that has insight from inside. The Holy Spirit says, did you see that, man? Yes! Huh? Did you see the mirror thing? Yes, I did! I haven't seen it for 40 years! But I seen it a couple weeks ago. Isn't that cool? That's the neat thing about this Word. You just keep learning more and more about it. I'll never learn it all. I know I won't. But with God in my life, I'm going to keep looking at it. Keep looking at it. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, Your Word is a light into our path. Father, we just need to look at it more. You love us so much, Father. Your power, Your grace, Your mercy is poured out upon us day to day, renewed every day. Father, just impress upon our hearts that to be thankful, be thanking You, Father, for all You've done. Sometimes when I go to bed at night, all I can say is, Father, I thank You for the day. There was so much that You did, so much that You're doing, and I just praise You. And I can get a good night's rest, and You're going to be in it tomorrow too with me. And I praise You. I praise You. Let us be more thankful of all those things we have. We can praise You, magnify You, and look at Your Word as many times a day as we look in the mirror. We just praise You. We love You, Father. In Your precious name we pray. Amen. The praise team comes forward. Elders come forward. We offer this time every week. It's a time of invitation. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, we are here to lead you in that. If you need prayer for anything, and when I say anything, it doesn't have to be big, it can be small.